Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George. Hey, kids, welcome back to the North and South of Things. This is George in Atlanta, and we're here per usual with our other host, Mark in St. Paul. Mark, how are you today?
I am well, George. It's an unseasonably warm Sunday afternoon here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it's raining.
Well, I mean, I just put up my Christmas tree yesterday, and nothing says the birth of baby Jesus like 70-degree weather in Atlanta.
Well, you know, it only got down to about 37 degrees overnight last night, which is very unusual for us. But, you know, I'll take rain over snow any day of the week because then I have to get out my snow thrower and, you know, take care of the walk.
That sounds like work.
It is work.
Yeah. Well, speaking of baby Jesus, boy, do we have a hot topic today. We're going to talk a little bit about religious liberty. It's all the new rave. Let's give our listeners a little bit of background. You know, it was back in 1990 that SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, ruled on a Native American gentleman was fired because he apparently took or smoked peyote. He contested that was part of his Native American religious practices. SCOTUS said, yeah, no, not so much. This upset the conservative religious movement in the early 90s, and actually on both sides of the aisle, I might add, because just 3 years later, President Clinton signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And they cited examples that, you know, the Amish people shouldn't be forced to put lights on their buggies just because there's a law that says a lights must be on a car. Or if your religion forbids an autopsy, you shouldn't be required to do that. So quoting a little bit of the language, the law said the new law demanded that the government have a compelling interest before infringing on religious freedom, and that government must use at least the least restrictive means of doing so. So this is all, you know, more than a decade later. More than a decade ago. And in 1997, the Supreme Court ruled yet again that the 93 law passed under Clinton only applies to the federal government, not the state government. So then that's when the floodgates started. In the late 90s, you saw states ramping up the number of religious freedom or religious liberty legislations. And so now this issue is coming back to light specifically because of the marriage equality issue. Mark, what's the rundown? How many states have the laws? How many states don't have the laws?
Well, currently there are 20 states that have religious freedom laws that were enacted between 1993 and 2015. There are 6 states that have pending laws, including your very own Georgia.
Ta-da!
And there are 19 states that have no religious freedom laws. Minnesota is one of those that does not currently have religious freedom laws. And then there have been 6 attempted but failed to pass religious freedom laws that have happened.
Can I just tell you that one of those that that apparently attempted and failed has floored me? West Virginia.
Really?
West by God, Virginia.
I'm like, how did that come about? You would think, my impression of that part of the country has always been rather conservative. How did it fail?
Well, I mean, I don't have dates on it, but the article that a lot of our conversation today comes from, and we'll put this in the show notes at northandsouthofthings.com. The article points to 2 House bills and 1 Senate bill. So there's apparently been multiple year attempts at it. House Bill 2508 in West Virginia failed. 2830 failed, and Senate Bill 487 failed. My guess is that's probably a more recent one, but the others that have failed is Utah, South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, West Virginia, and Wyoming. So good for them. I want to before we get into some of this, I want to say I actually don't, as a matter of rule, I don't sort of put my religious or faith beliefs out there because they're personal, and I've never understood why people feel the need to beat their chest. And I mean, it's really about you and your God, whatever that looks like. And I really don't have a problem with people worshiping or practicing their faith. But the current issue, I even object to that 93 legislation that the example they cited was, you know, if your religion says you shouldn't have autopsies, then you shouldn't be required to have one. Well, if that was related to a crime, you know
exactly.
What I mean? I mean, you want your murderer to go scot-free just because you're religious? I mean, I don't know. That's just one example. But I feel like there's some common sense application that should be put into play. What are you hearing? I've got a lot to talk about Georgia, but let's talk about Minnesota first. And congratulations to your Vikings, by the way, who beat my Falcons not so long ago.
Well, thank you, George. I know it's been a rather tough season for you. But we lost the other night as well. So
it was a tough loss, too.
I mean, you know, it's football.
It's football, yeah. They have broken my heart this year, I don't care to say. You have broken my heart. So tell me, what's the buzz? What's the word? What are the natives restless for some Bible thumping up in Minnesota?
No, not really. Things are pretty quiet. I've been noticing that this topic is coming up within our culture. Now, I do have a neighbor that lives just to the west of me that has a little kind of sign in their window that says, "Stand up for religious freedom." Now, I know the two gentlemen, they're brothers. They're in their late 60s or 70s. And, you know, they're good people. They're nice people. Mm-hmm. They've helped me out on occasions when things have gone awry here with my water main a couple winters ago when it froze solid. But, you know, here they have this sign that says "Stand Up for Religious Freedom," and this deals specifically with the Roman Catholic faith. So, you know, this idea that Christians believe of various stripes, whether you're an evangelical or fundamentalist or Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, what have you, Baptist, this idea that you're being persecuted for practicing your faith is just, it's infuriating, because when you are persecuted for practicing your faith, this brings to mind that you are in mortal danger
right.
of life and limb. This is not somebody who, you know, just may disagree with you and you are trying to force them to believe what you believe.
We seem as a society across the board to have really taken language to this hyperbolic extent. If there's a whiff of anything in one direction, we run past that like 20 times. So the fact that there are criticisms of religion, yes, there are criticisms of religion. There are people of what humanist, atheist, whatever, who don't want religion, religious practices sort of forced upon them. And so they're being more vocal than they ever have. And like everything else, they've got the tools of getting their opinions out instantaneously through social media and whatnot. But persecution? Really? Cross? Crown of thorns? Which one? I mean, what was it?
I don't see present day martyrs, if you want to take that definition, within the Christian faith, happening in America.
No.
I mean, some might point to the idea of Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, who was denying marriage licenses to same-sex couples. You know, she was playing the victim. She felt that she was being a martyr for her cause. And I'm sorry, we have something that's very fundamental to our government and fundamental to the United States. And I think we really need to explore this idea and bring it back or bring it forward, that there needs to be a very clear definition between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes a function of government and a government that sanctions religion or no religion, I think this is where we get on shaky ground. And you have the right to practice your religion. More power to you. Go for it. But if a government decides that it wants to favor something and deny services to the entire population, this is a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that we need to kind of go back to this idea of the separation of church and state and be very clear on the role of government when it comes to religion.
So wasn't a lot of this, there was actually a moment in time when this religious fervor, been several moments in time, but sort of one of the more recent modern history is back in the late 50s, right? That's when we put "In God We Trust" on the money, because it wasn't on the money, you know, early on.
And also the mention of God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
It's around
there as well.
Around the same time. And I think we may have all seen this Facebook meme. There's multiple items in which, both on the money and in the "In God We Trust," it replaced what? "E Pluribus Unum" out of many,
exactly.
One. And then the national the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God.
Yes, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all,
yeah,
is the original.
Right. So we find ourselves in this ebb and flow of religious fervor, and we caused it. It's our fault this time, Mark, because we homos wanted to get married. It's all our fault. But to be sure, I think there are probably other issues. If you think about the Hobby Lobby abortion Hobby Lobby birth control situation, mm-hmm, that Supreme Court ruling about closely held companies should be allowed to, you know, emulate the faiths and beliefs of their owners. But, you know, I think it's true. This probably shouldn't be spreading rumors because I haven't seen it for a fact. I have seen it a number of times, seen articles about it, but I don't know if it's true. But doesn't Hobby Lobby's investments include pharmaceutical companies that make these birth control items? I mean,
exactly. So, you know, it's one thing to have your convictions,
mm-hmm,
but you need to really have a bigger picture and realize that some of these things are so intertwined that it's difficult to untangle them and remain pure, so to speak.
Pure. I want to talk a minute about what's going on in Georgia. Georgia has a representative named Josh McCoon, who is not a Metro Atlanta representative. He's from somewhere else in Georgia, who has had more than one past linkage to anti-gay groups. He allowed some gentleman who was starting an anti-gay group to use his name to register with the state's SEC to register the corporation. Says he's not affiliated with the group, but he allowed them to use his name and like social security. I mean, real, like something really important, like social security number to actually register as the agent or something like that. So he has, in the last 2 years, brought up, religious liberty here. They're referring, it's like RFRA or something like that. Twice he has brought up the issue. Last session of our General Assembly, which would have been ending in spring this year, so the 2015 legislative year, he brought up legislation to protect the religious freedoms, particularly the language was not written as such, but it was particularly to not require businesses to serve the gay and lesbian community. And Georgia's business community, driven by a very powerful Metro Atlanta, you keep in mind Metro Atlanta is home, is like the third largest home to Fortune 500 companies. I mean, there's only two or three metros larger who have more Fortune 500 companies headquartered. So we, you know, when you've got Coke and Delta and UPS and Home Depot and all these folks, you know, they're pretty actively engaged when it comes to corporate social responsibility. Well, there are some in particular, Coke and Delta come to mind, who've made their opposition to anti-gay legislation very well known. They defeated a similar measure, I think, in 2014. This particular year, this McCoon person actually had someone to make an amendment to his legislation that basically said, you know, this bill should in no way endorse or promote discrimination of any sector of society. And they may have actually labeled and mentioned gays and lesbians. His response to that was to pull the bill from consideration because he said the language as it was added gutted the bill. So let's get this right. You want a bill that protects religious freedoms. Somebody inserts a very simple concept that this bill should not in any way, shape, form, or fashion discriminate against any population, and that gutted your bill. You were trying to write discrimination into the Georgia Code.
Exactly. You know, when you have various legislative bodies saying that a specific segment of society can be discriminated against, like the GLBT community, what's to say that Muslim Americans won't be next?
Yeah, I love... you sent me a NPR audio clip of an interview on this topic, and there was a Muslim American female on that interview, and she attended a rally, a religious freedom rally, and apparently she got timed on the mic, so she gets up in front of this crowd. I'm gonna guess largely white males with guns. That's bad. I shouldn't say that. That's probably not true. She gets up in front of the crowd and basically says, I'm here today as standing with you as a Muslim American woman, and I agree with you on your rights to have religious liberty, religious freedoms, and I hope you will join me in supporting the same for my faith. I would love to have just seen the jaws drop on the ground.
Exactly. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the coming presidential election, because the GOP, with its present fervor of anti-terrorism and anti-Muslim sentiment,
right,
are trying to use religious liberty as a basis for basically fascist methodologies.
And fear works.
And religion works to motivate mm-hmm. your voting base.
Yeah.
We've seen this time and time again where various religions are taking the time to try and influence politics.
Yeah.
And this is this goes back to my point of the separation of church and state. So when you have religions and churches who use their bully pulpit to try and motivate their congregants mm-hmm. to have a specific political influence, then we need to turn our attention to things like, you know, stripping them of their tax-exempt status.
I couldn't agree more. And there's no one monitoring that. No one. Absolutely no one.
Exactly. And it's an issue that infuriates me. The All Things Considered article that I sent to you, there are not many times where I am screaming at my radio in the car on my way home from work, but this was an example of it because I think you had Ted Cruz also had a soundbite on that article saying how he feels that Christians are being persecuted for practicing their faith. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. Basically, you are using your Christianity to decide on how you want America to be, how you feel America should be, and how everyone in America should feel. And that's wrong.
And denying you, the Christian, the right that you think you have to force others to live the way you do and practice the way you practice, you being denied that inappropriate need or request or action is not persecution. That's just the Constitution at play.
Exactly.
So I have to say, at the close of the legislature, when Senator McCoon or Josh McCoon, I think he's a representative, but I don't think he's a senator. The manner in which he pulled the bill leaves it open. In Georgia, any bill that has not been actually defeated is still in play for the upcoming year. So, and it sort of gets to pick up right where it left off. So you don't have to, I don't know if that's true in all states, but that's the way it is here. And so that bill is back in play and he's thumping and bumping and beating his chest already and, making, one of the biggest arguments a group here called Georgians United is making is the economic impact of such a legislation when big corporations have said we're not going to do business in a state that has this kind of a law. And so some have taken that and said, you know, extrapolated a economic impact number. And so that's what he's choosing to take issue with. That's the attack he's going on. But there was a rather sound message that came out just this week from just last week from the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, which is a pretty big outfit. And I'm quoting here, to attract people to the city, as great as the city is, we have to have a completely inclusive place where everybody is welcome, said incoming chairman and SunTrust executive Jenner Wood. That benefits not only the citizens of Georgia, but it benefits the businesses that needs the workers. We won't tolerate any discrimination. We want to be known as being inclusive. I mean, there's no gray area there. I mean, and that, you know, gives me tingly feelings because I don't want the corporations to have to come to our rescue. But I think I know there's a vocal, I'm going to call it minority because I don't think the average American wants to intentionally write discrimination in the code. Now, if you can find some happy medium, you know, if there are other examples that you're being forced to curtail your religious activities in ways that's not appropriate, bring that to light, you know. But if your intent is to discriminate against the LGBT community, that shit needs to be shut down.
Absolutely. And, you know, having your Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta step forward and be clear about where it stands on this issue is encouraging. I know when there was a constitutional amendment before the Minnesota voters about defining marriage as between one man and one woman. I know there were a couple of CEOs that stepped forward and said, you know, we're not going to be part of this. And I believe the Target Corporation was one, and General Mills was another one, the makers of various breakfast cereals. And it's encouraging for me as a member of a community to have these very large corporations step forward and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time in coming, and it really, I know there are other progressive segments of the Christian faith who are also vocal about not tolerating any form of discrimination. And we don't hear a lot about that in the media or on social media, et cetera, but it is out there. You know, there are many affirming, welcoming congregations in the Christian faith here in Minnesota. You know, I have friends who are members of SED, and it's, I think, you know, we've reached kind of this tipping point in our country where we really do need to decide what America stands for, and that is, you know, democracy, tolerance, and there is no place for this kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. A lot of heavy issues going on. My goodness, we've got no shortage of topics to talk about in the in the coming days and weeks ahead, not the least of which is the election. You know, I think I sit and think about these because I think some of these states are going to get religious. Didn't Indiana just have a particularly heinous religious liberty law passed? I think they did.
Yes, they did. And there is a backlash from that. There have been a lot of, you know, I think there was Salesforce, which is a kind of a constituency management system that's being used in business. Was supposed to have a very kind of a nationwide conference there. And as soon as it passed, it was going to be like 10 days later. Salesforce, which is located in San Francisco, I believe, basically said, no, we're not going to Indiana.
That's
wow. We canceled it. I know there are other movements about various sports teams mm-hmm. and playoffs that have also been canceled because of being in states like this. And really, since we live in a consumerist economy, really the only thing that mm-hmm. comes down to brass tacks is if you hit people in the wallet.
Yeah.
You know, that's why boycotts work. It comes down to finances, and I think we're going to see something similar here happening as we move forward. It's just like, you know, what would happen if Coca-Cola, Delta, and UPS and Home Depot all said, we're out of here?
Oh, I mean, my God. Yeah. I don't know that that would happen, but it is hard to calculate, in my opinion, what that would do. Because it has that cascading effect on all these other businesses, right down to the world's busiest airport.
Exactly.
You know, it's off topic for the religious liberty, but you know, there was the big push in Houston to get the workplace discrimination legislation ordinance passed, and it failed. And one of the I think it was a Human Rights Campaign, made a big effort to let the NCAA know you've got a Final Four or some competitive game mm-hmm. scheduled, some championship scheduled for Houston, and you shouldn't be choosing cities that don't, you know, that don't honor and protect the rights of all their people. And it was probably a couple of weeks, a month later, that NCAA said that they would actually begin to relook in the future. They would take that into consideration, and they are going to look, including cities that have already been awarded at that. So not a, you know, not a strong bit of language, but certainly encouraging. So hopefully, you know, I agree. I think it's a shame it has to come down to the wallet. But unfortunately, that's the life we live in. You know, on the one hand, you've got those who draw their morals from religious beliefs. And then there's the other side. I might be oversimplifying this, but the other side who feels like your morals ought to just be simply doing, treating people right and fairly. You know, it really comes down to that. And, you know, with the with those on the religious side, it comes with all this other baggage of, you know, religious practices and this religion versus that religion. So, yeah, can of worms. But you're right. The boycott and the economic impact message is effective.
It sure is.
All right. Well, we have run out of time on this topic, folks. Let us know. Drop us a note or send us a tweet and let us know what's going on in your state with religious liberty. Again, I want to be clear. I think people should be free to practice what they believe, whether that's a religious belief or not a religious belief. Don't take any of this as Christian bashing. And hopefully, in the days ahead, we'll see some common sense legislation or non-legislation. But I'm not.
And George, you'll have to keep us posted what's going to happen in your next legislative session as well.
Absolutely. We'll do. All right, Mark, until next time.
Take care.
Have a good one. Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.